Welcome to Talking Hoosier Baseball for Wednesday, March 30th, 2022. I am Carl James, joined by Cassidy Palmer and Chris Feeney. Josh Bennett has the night off. The Indiana Hoosiers won their series against Evansville over the weekend. It was a very frigid weekend. It involved a Friday night football score where Indiana dropped the game 17-14. But then the Hoosiers did several things that they have not done. Sweep a doubleheader and win two one-run games to take the series. So a positive turn on the weekend. I guess we'll start. Cass, why don't you start us off? What are your thoughts on the weekend?
Well, it was good to see the offense stay pretty steady across the weekend. If you're hitting 320 on a weekend, that's typically going to be a good sign. Strikeouts weren't particularly high, and they were a little high with two outs and or fewer than two outs and runner on third, but that's more of a small numbers thing. This weekend we really didn't see that situation come up all too often. But on the mound, the thing that stood out to me a bit and something I've wanted to watch a little bit is pitching with runners in scoring position. On the weekend, the pitchers issued a walk or an HBP in 22% of the plate appearances with a runner in scoring position, and they gave up a 257 batting average in that scenario. When you add hits and the walks and HBPs, that's a full 61% of the plate appearances had a positive non-error outcome for the opponent. That's not great. That's a number I'd like to see improve drastically, particularly later in the game. When you filter it down to the seventh through ninth, it was a .333 batting average with runners in scoring position. And that's how you give up those close late games. So I would really like to see those numbers go down. But overall, they did what they had to do late in the games to survive. And when it comes down to it, that's what matters.
All right, Chris, what do you got for us?
Well, I really was impressed how the series really changed the narrative. I a couple of times, especially Sunday, I felt here we go again. And I would think anybody paying attention to the game was too, right? We've already had the Friday great offensive, performance, and we lose anyway. And then we have a big lead, or we have a chance to win the next game, and here they come, and they're going to catch us, and they're going to pass us, because that's what's been happening, but then it didn't. And then the game two comes, and now's our chance to win the series, but here they come, and they're going to catch us, and they're going to pass us, and then they didn't. So for it to change the narrative right before Big Ten play, I thought was perfect timing, by the way. We've heard a lot from Coach about how this non-con was for learning about things and seeing what he had and all the new faces and all the youth. So to end it on a 2-1 run win Sunday with the series on the line, and this would, let's be honest, this isn't a series you can lose. You know what I mean? And then when you lose 17-14 on Friday, you're up against it, all of Sunday. It really changed, the way people looked at it, or forget people, the way I looked at it. I definitely saw the worst coming twice, and neither time it happened, and it was real good.
Well, for me, it was, you had something different come out of Coach Friday after Friday's game, which is that he took personal responsibility for the pitching decisions that were made, the win to switch pitchers on Friday. And it was interesting from my perspective, because I'm thinking, well, Unfortunately, though, because of the way those decisions went on Friday, it really didn't leave a whole lot of wiggle room for him on Sunday. But even still, you could tell he was a lot more aggressive with the hooks on Sunday. And it's that when a pitcher is just showing the slightest sign of he's not got it right now, then they you know, he went out and got him. to the point that he tried to actually pull Holderfield earlier and was stopped because he had already visited him in that at bat. I didn't know that was a thing, but apparently it is, because the third base umpire is like, you stay there. He has to finish this batter before you can go get him. And then, of course, he got him out, and then they ran Holderfield out for another inning, and he did great. So,
yeah.
Thank you, third base ump.
Yes.
Now, it really was fun, though, right, to have two close nail biters like that. Mm-hmm. It went against your rule, right, with the doubleheaders don't get swept. But it also gave you what you wanted. No, but here's the other side of that coin. When we talked last week, I said, I'll take any kind of series win. And you were like, just not a close, another close loss. And we almost could have took two of them, and you didn't have to sit through either one.
Yeah. I got to sit through 30-degree weather, but.
I tell you, you were a trooper out there, bro. My games got canceled.
Again, one of the few benefits to being two states over is I don't have to sit out in the 30-degree weather anymore.
Yes. It's a rough doubleheader.
And normally I wouldn't brag about this because, you know, especially last year, I tried not to brag because we actually got to see games when a lot of other people didn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, we did have Garrett Creech representing IUBase.com in the press box. I was not in the press box, and I was there for every inning.
Nice.
I didn't feel very good for another day or so, but...
There's a reason that even still my clear baseball bag has hand warmers in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The emergency bag. Mm-hmm.
The first hour was great. It really was. That first hour was fantastic because the sun was on us. It was great.
You are allowed to move, Carl. You can move to the sun.
I know. Well, but no, the thing is, this is the trap. You move to the sun and then the wind gets you.
Because it's down the right field line.
Right. Yes, see, in the first hour, we had both the sun
and the
bleachers blocking the wind.
Mm-hmm.
But once the sun went away, you could go to the sun. Trust me, that first base line where typically people are lined up,
yeah,
nobody was there. Because you get into it and there's a 20-mile-per-hour cold wind blowing in your face.
Yeah.
That's worse.
I remember a cold one standing there with Miller and Sowers hit the back-to-backs. That was a cold one. But for some reason, we were all out. It wasn't
cold. Yeah, no, we were all over there. It was great. I remember. That was awesome.
But that wasn't cold like it was Sunday. But it was chilly. You know.
Yeah. But no, this was – I was fully geared up trying to take video, and I lasted like three batters, and I'm like, no, I'm done. I'm going back.
Hey, but overall, regardless of the weather – you get those wins, it's worth it. I mean, I was, you know, that was, that's an exciting Sunday.
Now, I will also tip the cap to the Evansville fans, if parents or whoever they were, they trooped it out too, and they were right there in the wind. So, and they were loud and vocal the whole weekend. So.
Really?
Well, okay. Yes.
Okay. Well, and I love as a fun on this day. This was, let me find it. This is where I love Time Hop. Was that 6 years ago? Yeah, six years.
Is this the game that didn't happen?
Uh-huh. 6 years ago was the
what?
The game that didn't happen.
The parking lot lightning?
Yep. The Evansville went up something ridiculous, like 15-0.
Yeah, yeah.
It was 15-0.
But about 20 minutes before that started, they were only up like 9-0.
Right.
If they would have just stopped hitting. Okay, they did that to themselves.
They did. And I got into a nice, lovely fight with a very strong Evansville fan about the fact that aluminum and lightning don't mix.
Yeah. Oh, amazing.
It's
a very good school, that Evansville.
He seemed convinced that that it was a conspiracy and that it was about rain. And I'm like, dude, it's not about rain. It's about the fact that they're holding lightning rods in their hands.
Yeah. Well, the bleachers are kind of metal, too.
They are.
Yeah. But I remember the cheering in that bar parking lot every time at Lightning. That was hysterical.
Oh, yeah.
Well, so that was today? Today's date?
Yep. Six years ago today.
That's wild.
Thank you, Time Hop.
Yes.
Well, Evansville also had a remark. There's some weird things about Evansville at the BART. Well, they had that phenomenal catch this year.
The one on Friday.
Yeah. Oh, that's center. Oh, that field, left center to center.
Yeah, I mean, that basically sealed the game for them. That was amazing. Yeah. They also had that crazy number one ESPN play a few years ago where they robbed Didolo.
I was going to say, wasn't that Deeds?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was on my New York opening day weekend and watched that for the first time on SportsCenter during the top 10. And I'm looking at my buddy. I'm like, yo, that's the bar. I was into the Mets that weekend, obviously, opening day. And then he's like, what? And I'm like, play back. Because he actually had cable. You remember cable?
Yeah.
And you could like rewind it. And he rewound it. And I'm like, I'm telling you, that is the bar. And it was, because then it was amazing.
Yeah. And I remember seeing it live. It was just nuts. Just that he, but apparently they said this last one, because this was not that crazy over the fence thing, but that diving catch, because they were kind of doing the whole no doubles thing. They were playing back at the back, and it was just, I thought that we were about to bust that game open.
Yep.
And really come back, and that just killed it.
He slid so far after the catch,
too. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not often I star a defensive play for the other team, but that one absolutely got a star in my scorecard.
And it wasn't. It was just like, oh, the game's over.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh.
Cool. Okay. So, as I said, things are, that was a positive trend. To your point, Chris, there are still obviously some things that are concerning. And, Evansville doesn't have the greatest record. Now, keep in mind, they are in a good conference. It's not a Power Five, but the Missouri Valley is not a slacker of a conference. And Evansville tends to, even in years where teams tend to think Evansville's not that great, they tend to compete in that conference. So, fortunately, IU managed to hold up their end of the Big Ten Missouri Valley challenge this past weekend. Maryland did not. Maryland dropped the series to Dallas Baptist. So
USA,
which bumped them out of the D1 baseball top 25. So there are no Big Ten teams ranked at this point. They are still refusing to rank the at the time 18-1 Purdue Boilermakers. I'm trying to get a reaction out of you, Chris.
But you know what it is? I listened to what you texted me earlier today. It kind of made sense, because I remember like Michigan sometimes have like a 14-1, Nebraska 17-1, and they get thrown in some of the rankings, but D1 doesn't do it for them normally. No. I feel like they need significant, powerful wins if it's going to be a Midwest team.
Yep.
And that's why I like the way we schedule, because should we go out and get some big time non-con wins and take care of other business, we're going to be in a D1 ranking.
Yeah.
Well, the other piece of this is Purdue is not likely to have a regional RPI, even if they continue.
Now, of course not. Yeah. The schedule is trash.
Yeah. They're not going to. And it's,
I know. I've been saying that. I've been saying they're playing high school teams.
Yeah. They go, they go 14-10 in the Big Ten. It's probably not going to be enough to get them into a regional. They're going to have to win the Big Ten tournament.
Yeah.
And could they? Sure. Anyone can. I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
But they're not one of these like at-large teams like we've been. No way. Not with that schedule. No. That's why Tracy Smith and Lamonis and now Coach Mercer, they know it relies so much on strength of schedule.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For a Midwest team.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
That is true. Well, since we're talking about it, we might as well get into our picks for the week, because there are five non-Indiana series that are going to be played in the Big Ten. And honestly, this is a tough one. These are some tough ones here. And I probably ought to get my notes together, because I've got to make sure I record what you guys do. Although I guess I could just watch the video afterwards when I'm editing it.
Mm-hmm.
Good. So our series are Minnesota traveling to Rutgers. So yes, Chris, that will be played in the day.
They don't have that. It's amazing that they don't have flights. Didn't they like invent college football? Like the sport, the college has been around for hundreds of years and they don't have lights for baseball.
I think even my high school has lights.
Oh,
I just drove by Bloomington High School South softball and there were lights on.
Yes. I have to interrupt this. I have to say one thing that is, I don't know who did this, but I just want to thank you. Someone, I don't even know what department at Indiana University, they have removed the Wisconsin flag from the BART.
Yes.
Oh, really?
There are even rings where the flag used to be. It has been taken down.
And that's Carl just pushing blame away from himself.
Hey, if they put a baseball team back together, we will absolutely
gladly hang that flag back up. Yep.
Listen, my man went up there himself. I know you did.
But now the ball's in Wisconsin's court. And
yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. So, yes, I don't know who, I'm not sure who did it, but somebody did that. And the Wisconsin flag has been taken down. So thank you.
Have they ever worked at Circuit City? This gentleman who did this.
I'm afraid of heights. There is no way I got up there.
Listen, you never know what you can do for a point.
No, not just that, but they moved because the Wisconsin flag was the last flag because it's in alphabetical order.
Right.
So they moved they moved the Rutgers flag from under the Purdue flag. Mm-hmm. To the slot where the Wisconsin one is. It's the one under the Purdue flag that's left empty now. So not only do they move the flag, they remove a flag, they moved another flag.
Because they wanted you to notice it. Oh, okay. Yes. I like it.
And yes, I'm sure I am probably the only person that would notice it, but I noticed.
So I remember noticing that they don't do the standings. Because at Shea Stadium growing up, the flags always match the standings. And then I noticed that the BART didn't do that pretty early on. That it was just, I don't think I realized it was alphabetical, but I noticed they never moved.
Yeah, it's alphabetical.
Yeah, because you could always see certain ones from the steps.
Yeah. All right, so back to the pick'em.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we've got Iowa traveling to Michigan. That should be an awesome series.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Nebraska's traveling to Columbus to take on Ohio State. Penn State. Out east is traveling to Maryland, so that'll be a kind of an all east thing. And then Purdue is going to put their undefeated 1-0 Big Ten record on the line.
These guys
at Illinois,
Illinois University. This is a college.
Yeah, they might be a little higher up than Illinois Chicago, who just beat Purdue. So
I'm not saying nothing offense. We've had our issues with Illinois, but my point there is saying I'm glad Purdue is playing a Division I college baseball.
Yes, yes, and one that won their Big Ten series last week.
No,
which was against all of our picks.
Uh-huh. Yeah. But we don't like them. That's fine.
But it hit all of us equally. So
actually, I don't have any problem with Illinois. I just don't like their Twitter feed. So.
That's true. Some 22-year-old were mad at. That's fair.
Also, interesting fact that I just have to bring this up from having visited there, that the fact that the softball field and the baseball field are in the same complex in Illinois, but they are in different cities.
Whoa.
Ooh, that's
not Champaign.
The city line between Champaign and Urbana goes in between the baseball field and the softball field.
Wow.
That is fantastic.
But they have lights.
They have lights, yes.
Okay, I just made sure.
It's actually a pretty nice place to watch ball. I mean, there's not a lot of seating because they don't really draw a lot, but it's actually not a bad place to watch a baseball game. So,
didn't they host the Super?
Yes, they host the Super there.
That's wild.
There's plenty of room to do temporary. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And they brought in temporary bleachers. And there's a lot of really nice standing room, too. So
pretty much anywhere in the Midwest, if they're going to be hosting, has to have temp bleacher room. Unless you're Minnesota and you can swing Viking Stadium.
No, that place is too big for that.
Yeah, they get in there early season, so.
No, but no one goes. They don't sell tickets. Yeah. They just play their games.
All right, Cass. So let's have your picks.
Okay. Well, I'm not trusting Minnesota any further than I can throw them. So Rutgers for that series, especially on the road. I'm going to go with Michigan over Iowa. Go with the home team there. I think home field advantage is going to be big. And I think Nebraska is going to get things going at Ohio State. That one I'm really torn on, but I think Nebraska. Going Maryland at home. I don't think Penn State can knock them off at home. And as much as I want it to be the other way around, I'm going to guess that Purdue beats Illinois.
All right, Chris.
All right. So now, last week, I took the New Jersey team because of the Peacocks of St. Peter's, but they are now out of it. So as much as it kills me, I'm going Minnesota. Okay? Because I just want to go against that, you know, and we'll see how that works out. I got Michigan just honestly because they're home. I think this is a coin flip, and in a coin flip, I'm going to take the home team, assuming all three games get played. So I'm going to take Michigan. I'm going to take Ohio State. I did go Nebraska last week. It didn't go well. And now that they're going to go out on the road, I don't know. I'm just going to go Ohio State with that one. Not to, you know, put Maryland under any pressure, but after the big loss, okay, coming home, I'm going to say Penn State continues that. So I'm going to take Penn State. And then Illinois, I'm going to take because they're a college. And when Purdue plays colleges, they lose. So there you go. Those are mine.
All right. Well, let's let me pull this up. Let's see. Josh did submit his picks, even though he wasn't able to join us tonight.
All right.
Wow. We've got a lot of faith in the Gophers this week.
Oh, wow.
Josh is also picking Minnesota. Josh is going against you two and picking Iowa in the Michigan series. Wait, hold on.
Carl is reading Josh's picks backwards. He did take Minnesota, so...
I'm sorry, he didn't. I'm reading this wrong. I thought he was putting the winners at the end.
Once again, Carl is reading his picks backwards.
Yes, I'm reading them backwards. No, Josh picked Rutgers and Michigan, so he's so far matched up with Cass. I'm sorry. So forget it. I can edit this or something.
Don't edit it, because I figured it out before you did.
Okay, yeah. Okay, I'm going to try to do this. I'm going to read this first before saying it out loud. Okay, he's got Nebraska over Ohio State in Columbus. He's got Maryland beating Penn State. And he's got Purdue beating Illinois. So, all right, my picks. I have got Rutgers at home. Bold pick there. Bold pick there, Chris.
It really is.
It's the lights.
Okay, so I guess I am the only one taking the Hawkeyes to beat Michigan up in Ann Arbor.
You are.
Yep, I am. I'm. Iowa always has a nice big early season victory, series victory. I'm saying this is going to be their that one for them. I'm with Nebraska. Looks like Chris, you're alone on that one. With Ohio State. I am going with Maryland. Chris, you're definitely the only one going with Penn State.
Really?
Okay. Yes.
That's hey,
I picked Penn State last week, so
yeah,
and it burned me. And it burned me.
They've got pretty good pitching, I feel like. But.
And then I am also. This was the toughest mm-hmm. one for me, but because I think this one could go either way. But I am gonna lean slightly towards Purdue in this one. So again, here it is on an Indiana podcast, and Chris is the only one that's gonna pick against Purdue. So
and for reference of just how bold of a pick that Minnesota one is, Minnesota is only 4 slots higher in RPI than Purdue Fort Wayne,
who has won like 3 games since we beat them.
Yes,
which is strange.
They've got a total of 4 wins on the season.
So they've won 4 since we beat them.
Ooh, yeah,
they must have dropped out of the bottom 10 then.
No, they're still in it. That's how I know the number. Or maybe it's the bottom 20. They're on the list.
Well, they've gained 10 slots in RPI.
Okay.
So
it's the only reason I know their record, Carl.
Well, if that's not enough to get them, I need to start tweeting at those guys, because like they need to come off that list if that's the case.
Yes. But yeah, so just for reference, that's where Minnesota currently sits.
Yeah. Big comeback. Hey, the Mastodons were number 1, weren't they?
Yep. And then Miami of Ohio is another 4 spots above Minnesota.
So we did have a media availability. So I will have that out. I don't know if it'll be before or after this podcast. At some point near the podcast, there will also be the recording of the media availability. We did get a chance to talk to Braden Tucker, which is pretty cool. talk about his pitch assortment in particular. So that'll be an interesting thing to listen to. And then we talked to Coach Mercer. I think I think the thing on everyone's mind is the injury situation. And yes, there's still some folks for IU that are a little banged up, particularly the outfielders. So it was non-committal on whether Bobby Whalen and Morgan Colopy would be available to play this weekend. In some capacity, we just don't know. So I get the impression that the issues are day-to-day. Again, that's just kind of an impression. Nothing was specifically said other than that there are clearly injuries in the outfield. Obviously, there's been one for a while. He mentioned Ethan Vakrumba, who's still recovering from an injury. So at this point, there are 3 outfielders that are banged up in Whalen, Colopy, and Vakrumba. But he again stressed, you know, next man up, and so far that's worked out pretty well. Really praising, you know, Hunter Jesse and Sam Morrison and the work that they have done in stepping in for roles as guys have been injured. So we'll see how that all plays out. I get the very much impression that things are kind of day to day. There was also quite a bit of discussion about pitching and pitching utilization. And you take what Coach said on Friday and then the results on Sunday, kind of pair that together, you know, and he said that they're really getting more narrowly focused on what roles guys should really be in and using guys in those roles. And I asked a follow-up to that, which is, I said, is it possible we should expect to see guys more often in shorter outings? And he was very affirmative about that. So we may see, you know, I'm thinking possibly even, one inning outings where, maybe you have, Reese Sharp setting up Braden Tucker 8-9.
Can you imagine that, Carl? A 7th, 8th, and 9th guy. I've only been saying that for 4 years.
But I think they're starting to go down that track. That we've got guys who are that just struggle once they've been seen, and breaking up their outings over the weekend into a couple of smaller stints might be beneficial. So we may be seeing some of that going forward. Curious, you know, and of course, as we all know, you know, some plans don't survive contact with the enemy. So we'll see how that goes.
And I'm not saying it's a guaranteed win. I'm not saying, but yeah. I feel like it's been long overdue because it also gives the kids to know their role. You know, it's like give it a 7th, 8th, 9th. It hasn't been the way they've wanted to do it, but I'm definitely confident in it. Just to at least give it a shot. If you're ever going to give it a shot, let it be this season where.
Yeah.
It's been real shaky pitching wise, you know?
Yep.
And if it means fewer mid-inning pitching changes, I'm very good with that.
And then we did obviously talk a bit about the Northwestern, who put up some huge offensive numbers over their last 6 games. and we'll see how that kind of translates into our part. Now, one of those and one two of those games were against Evansville, so they beat Evansville pretty handily. So that's a common opponent in recent times. All right, well, but do we have anything else we want to discuss before we get to handing out some hardware?
Well, I got checked in with Pro Bowl Hoosiers. And he was pretty excited, as we all are, I would think, that, you know, Major League Baseball and spring training's going. And a lot of our guys got invites to the spring training camps. I mean, guys' names that we already know. Kyle Schwarber already hit a bomb. Scott Efros has pitched 5 scoreless innings already and is making dudes look like they forgot how to swing a bat. and he's showing up on a lot of national stuff with the new, you know, the windup and that he went sidearm and stuff. So Efros is really opening some eyes. But Pro Bowl really wanted me to stress that we've got 5 players getting their first looks at Major League Baseball strength training games, right? That's Cade Bunnell, Elijah Dunham, Timmy Herron, Matt Lloyd, and Matt Gorski. And a little bird told me Thursday, late innings versus the Phillies, we just might see Grant Richardson. That's unofficially very official. So if you're going to be looking into a Phillies-Yankees spring training tilt on Thursday, depending on when you hear this, you probably might not hear it, you know, until then. But go back. Go into your MLB. Go into your MI, you know, LB, wherever your listings. And Grant should be taking the field late Thursday against Philly. At Philly, it's Baywater Park. It's Clearwater. They use it for their minor league team, too. I think Luke Miller played there as a minor leaguer. But Grant Richardson will be added to the list, too, that Pro Bowl's talking about. And it's real good to see our guys. Also, just to throw in, high school baseball has started. We've had a couple guys make the preseason All-State team, which is Andrew Wiggins, you know, is probably the number one name. He can pitch. He can hit. He's a very big prospect. And you know what? No matter what, whether it's Indiana, Ohio, Illinois, you know, Coach Mercer has really reached out and spread the umbrella of recruiting. And with high school baseball starting all over the place, you know, I like it, man. I like checking in on our guys that are coming soon to the BART. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Awesome. All right. Well, I think now we can go ahead and hand out the hardware. Chris, who is getting the red belts?
All right. We got a repeat winner. And if you would have told me that this young man would have ever repeated a red belt after sitting at Clemson, what a comeback kid. Bradley Bremer gets back-to-back Joey Donato red belts. Okay? No offense, you know, to the Bremers if they're listening. But the young man had a hard time getting back-to-back strikes. And he just won Big Ten Pitcher of the Week. Okay? This is a comeback of something that we haven't seen in a while for an arm on our staff here in Indiana. So really, really, I love being wrong. And I don't know how much more of Bradley Bremer I wanted to see after Clemson. And I love being wrong because the man just won 2 red belts in a row and Big Ten Pitcher of the Week, 6 innings, 1 hit, no earned runs. Really needed it after the football score that Carl mentioned earlier, you know, to really shut down and really, like, you know, focus in and clear the mechanism and play baseball on Sunday in that football. So Joey Donato Award to Bremer for the Tony Butler Award. Not really one outstanding play that counted. You know what I mean? No 4th out plays can count. I'm sorry for the red belt. So I'm going to go with Bobby Whalen. You know, he's played every game this season at center field, a very difficult position. Okay. Especially in cold weather, especially when just getting out on the field, when having to play indoors a lot early for practice, the man has 0 errors. Donuts, nothing. Okay.
Knocking on wood now.
Yeah, well, yeah. But he's, you know, possibly won't play for a few days. Yeah. So, you know what? Maybe the jinx will go through that. But Bobby gets the red belt just for consistency and playing a real tough position, especially early in the year. So Bobby gets the Tony Butler. For the Alex Dickerson Award, I'm going to go Philip Glasser. All right. Until late in the Oscars, he obviously had the biggest hit on Sunday. You know what I mean? To take care of that victory. All right, he had 3 other hits, 3 RBIs. Yeah, he might got overshadowed later in the night with that other hit, but Glasser was our biggest hit, and Sunday was a much needed series win. So he gets the Alec Dickerson Award. So we've got Philip Glasser for hitting, Bradley Bremer for pitching, and Bobby Whalen for the Tony Butler Award for this week.
All right. Well, the Big Ten season for Indiana does start on Friday at 5 p.m. against Northwestern at the BART. So it's obviously a huge series. Got the feeling that things are maybe going in the right direction, but you know, again, it always comes down to execution and two really big offensive teams going at it, and hopefully Indiana's pitching starting to really find it. So we know that there's talented arms there. Now the question is, can they execute game in, game out? And that will be the question, and something we'll get to observe. So that will do it for this edition of Talking Hoosier Baseball. You can check out iubase.com for more information. We'll have the pick'ems that we described. We'll have a graphic covering those pick'ems and the current records, which do have Cass and Josh currently in the lead. Chris and I are pulling up the tail end at 1-2 right now. We'll see if that there's going to be movement, especially with most of Chris's picks going against the rest of the groups. We'll see how that goes for the next week. If Chris digs himself a further hole, or if he ends up overtaking all of us. But we also have a lot of great content. We continue to recap every game, and I can't say enough for how Garrett Creech, our reporter, has been doing. Lots of really, really good details and analysis in the recaps. So if you get a few minutes, go to iubase.com, read those recaps that Garrett has written. He's there taking it in. He's listening to us, but he's also in there in the press box, talking to the other reporters, talking to the SIDs, and getting a lot of good insights into the game. So that's my pitch for iubase.com. For Cassidy Palmer and Chris Feeney, I'm Carl James. We will see you at the BART.